the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God. Amen. You may be seated. As you have heard already this morning during this Lenten season, we are on our way to Jerusalem, to the cross, to the empty tomb with Jesus. Last week we were with Jesus as he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And on this second week of Lent, we read how Nicodemus came to see Jesus during the Passover feast in Jerusalem. For whatever reason, whether he was ashamed to be seen talking to Jesus or whether he feared that the Pharisees would see him talking to Jesus, Nicodemus came under the cover of darkness to see Jesus. He knew, according to some of the things that Jesus had done, like turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana, that Jesus came from God. No mortal man could do such things. But Nicodemus was having great difficulty believing that Jesus was the Messiah. I don't think that it had come across Nicodemus' horizon yet that that was a possibility. He called Jesus Rabbi. He believed that Jesus was a teacher who had come from God. And Jesus responded to Nicodemus by saying that, quoting, "A man must be born again if he wants to see the kingdom of God." This confounded Nicodemus. "Can a man be born the second time?" he asked. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, a man must be born again." And then a little bit later on, he said, "Truly, truly, a man must be born of water and the Spirit if he is to be a member of the kingdom of God." Physical birth comes by water and the flesh. So also spiritual birth comes by water and the Spirit, namely by the Holy Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. And how does this spiritual birthing happen? Jesus said it's like the blowing of the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but we know that the wind does blow. So it is with the Spirit. It is a mysterious thing, a sacramental thing, a thing that we can recognize but can't explain. Nicodemus was one of the main teachers of Israel, but he knew nothing at this time about spiritual birth or spiritual life. That is, life lived by faith. Faith. But to Nicodemus' credit, he continued to listen to Jesus, and Jesus continued to teach Nicodemus. Jesus had descended from heaven to earth as the Son of Man. As such, it would be necessary for him to be lifted up on a pole in a manner similar to the way Moses lifted a snake up on a pole in a desert. The people looked at the snake on a pole and believed that by looking at it, they would not die by being bitten by poisonous snakes. And those who looked and believed did not die. So also Jesus would be lifted up on a pole. He would be lifted up on a Roman cross, suffering and bleeding, and then dying for all the world to see. By looking on him and believing, the believers would not suffer eternal death, but have eternal life. And then Jesus is teaching again in John 3:16, as we read together a few minutes ago. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus is pointing out Nicodemus' need for a Savior, a Messiah, something that Nicodemus is having a hard time believing. You see, Pharisees did not consider themselves to be sinners. They actually thought that they kept the law, not just the Ten Commandments, but they also claimed to keep the other 600 plus Jewish laws of piety that they had created for themselves. Can you imagine? But Jesus was teaching Nicodemus that a person is not saved by works of human flesh. Keeping the law does not save a person. Instead, a person is saved by grace through faith in Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Word made flesh, was preaching the Word to Nicodemus. The performative Word, the efficacious Word, the creative Word would have an effect on Nicodemus. The Word would not return void to Jesus. 3 years later, when the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin contemplated killing Jesus by condemning him to death without a hearing or trial, from John chapter 7, we hear Nicodemus say, we hear that Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier and who was one of their own number, asked, "Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he is doing?" Faith, you see, is being created in Nicodemus. At first, we see him timidly, even fearfully, come to Jesus by night. But 3 years later, we see him stand up for Jesus before the Sanhedrin, something no one else did, not even the apostles. After Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' dead body to the tomb, a very bold move made in daylight for the Pharisees and all the world to see. According to sources other than the Bible, Nicodemus was one of the three richest men in Israel. He was a Pharisee like Paul. And we are fairly certain that after Jesus' death and resurrection, Nicodemus lost his fortune, becoming poor, and was persecuted for his faith in Jesus as the Savior of the world. Unlike many great teachers, you see, Nicodemus was willing to learn. He recognized a teacher greater than himself when he saw him. Jesus' miracles spoke volumes to Nicodemus. He was willing to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him, to learn about him. The Holy Spirit created a great hunger within Nicodemus to know more about Jesus. He knew that Jesus came from God, but there was more he wanted to know. Was this man Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah? Was he sent to atone for Nicodemus' sins? Was he sent to atone for your sins? Was he sent to atone for the sins of the world? Was he sent to atone for my sins? Friends, we are more like Nicodemus than we care to admit. There are times when we are ashamed to admit that we know Jesus. There are times when we are fearful to admit that we know Jesus. Fearful for what others might say about us or do to us. Even so, the Holy Spirit continues to create hunger in us for our Savior. Truly, truly, I say to you, whether you come timidly at night, ashamed or afraid, like Nicodemus did at first, or whether you come boldly in broad daylight, like Nicodemus did later, come to know Jesus more and more as your Savior. May the Lord break down all your pride that you may know Him. May you sit at His feet more humbly, hearing the Word sent from above, living in repentant faith in baptismal waters, being bodied with His body and blooded with His blood at His table often, remembering our Lord's death until He comes again. Truly, truly, Jesus says to you, a man must be born again. A woman must be born again. A man or a woman must be born of water and the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God for the new birth of the Spirit, the regeneration of the Spirit, through the waters of baptism and the Word of God. May your faith, F-A-I-T-H-S, faiths, grow exponentially in Jesus and in the Word and in the Word made flesh. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.